You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
To Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. This is Labor Day weekend coming up, and I hope that you have plans to do something enjoyable, relaxing. It's kind of the last hurrah for the practical aspects of summer. And so if you're going to go out and do something, I encourage you, be safe, be on the lookout, and make sure that you stay alert, and make sure that you make God a priority. And we've got a guest speaker that is going to be at Merritt Assembly of God this Sunday, and I'm sure he will do a great job. He's been a great pastor, president of Bible College, and I expect he's going to bring a great word. He pastored a great church over in the Orlando area, and he's a dear friend, and so we are very thankful that they're going to be there to bring such a wonderful word. Want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. They've been in Brevard County for a long, long time, been in business for over 50 years. Even though they're based in Rockledge, they travel all throughout Brevard County. They go all the way. I know they've done work down in Barefoot Bay, all the way up to the Mims and Scottsmore area. Dennis pastors a great church over in the Geneva area, makes a great impact on that community there. They specialize in providing professional sales services and repairs for air conditioning and heating issues, as well as the electrical fields as well. They work primarily in residential settings, but do some light commercial work and even provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide their customers with the best service possible at an affordable price. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. Their license number is CAC 182-1309. That's Wyrick Air, and we are very thankful for them. They do a great job, and they bring a great value. I was looking at some of the vehicles driving down the road, and there's some really large companies that specialize in a number of different things. But I want you to know that all of those vehicles means that they have a lot of overhead too. And Wyrick Air, they may not be the biggest company around, but I tell you, you're not going to have to pay for all of the overhead expenses either. They really bring a valuable service at a great value to their customers as well. We appreciate them for all they do for the kingdom and for being friends of the Refresh radio program. Going to take you to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 today, verse number 21. And it says, "And when he, Jehoshaphat, had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.' Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another." So, as we were talking on yesterday's program, Jehoshaphat, he sends the singers out to face these three armies. And he says, this is an appointment. An appointment is something that is set by someone. You may call and schedule an appointment with your doctor, but in reality, it's the doctor who sets the appointment, because if he's not available and you want to see him, you're not going to be able to see him. There are positional appointments, and that's what we see here. Jehoshaphat appoints the singers, and he not only appoints them for their role or their function, but he appoints them the content for which they are going to go out and sing. Now, remember, they're going out to face three armies. And at the end of yesterday's program, I was talking about, you know, if I was in that choir, I would definitely make sure that I was right with God before I went out to face that battle. Whenever I go to visit someone in the hospital, I like to make sure, especially if they're towards the end of their journey or the potential end of their journey, I want to make sure, hey, are you right with God? And I don't just do that with parishioners. I do that with myself. Is there anything in my life that I want there to be no doubt? I want there to be plenty of evidence of Christ living inside of me. I don't want it to be, you know, touch and go. Well, you know, he had a moment here or there, but overall, we really didn't see. That's not the testimony I want. I want a testimony that says Jesus was the Lord of his life, and he lived that life. He lived as if Jesus was Lord. And so that's the song. I talked about the song that we sing. How do I want to say this? Sometimes if we lose perspective, we can sing the wrong song. Israel, when they came out of Egypt, instead of focusing on the miracles that God had brought that led to their release, they complained about anything that made them uncomfortable, anything that caused them uncertainty. For 40 years, God led them through a wilderness place and provided supernaturally for them. And they complained over and over and over and over again. You see, God brought the slaves out of Egypt, but it took a long time to get the bondage out of their heart, out of their mindset. They kept singing the song of complaining instead of singing the song that said, God is good and his mercy endures forever. So we have to ask ourselves, what song do we sing? So Jehoshaphat was the worship leader here at this point in time. And he says, this is how I want you to praise the Lord. This is how I want you to sing. I want you to realize that you are singing to him. Just because a song has a good beat and you can tap your toe to it doesn't necessarily mean that it is a praise or a worship song. Just because it is a song about God does not mean that it's a song that you are singing to God. I look back, my parents took me to this concert one time. I was very young, a very, very famous singer, and he sang a song that had the word God into it. And I just said, oh, must be a song about God. And look back now and say, no, not so much. And so you need to realize that when we are praising the Lord, we're singing. By the way, it doesn't matter if you have a voice that can carry a note in a bucket or if it's going to take a tow truck or a dump truck. you should sing. Sing in your heart. Make a beautiful melody. And it says, sing to the Lord. So my wife and I celebrated a milestone anniversary earlier this year. And there's a lot of times where it's just she and I together, and I may at any given point in time break into a silly song. Long before Larry was singing silly songs, if you are familiar with VeggieTales, Silly Songs with Larry. Long before Larry was doing silly songs, Bob was doing silly songs. And before I was doing them, my dad was doing them. My brother does them. My sister does them. It's part of our nature. But I primarily reserve my silly songs for my wife. They're silly songs only for her. I don't have the ability to be Tim Hawkins or any of those people who can make parody songs and they actually sound good or anything. I just sing to make my wife laugh. And so we need to realize that we're singing to the Lord, that the Lord is not only Lord over the temple, he's Lord over the battle as well. And so Jehoshaphat admonishes them, I'm sending you out, I'm appointing you for this, that you should sing to the Lord. He also describes to them the content, not just the audience, but the content. And that is this, who should sing to the Lord and should praise the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. Holiness has gotten a bad rap. Holiness had devolved at some point in time to be a list. It was a list of things that you could not do primarily. And depending upon the era in which that list was established, that there were a lot more don'ts than do's. The problem with that is society has advanced greatly and made the list of the 50s and the 60s pretty much out of date. And so there was a lot of ugly applications of the concept of holiness, to where now many people view holiness as optional. But I want to remind you, without holiness, no man shall see God. Holiness is not optional. It is the manifestation that God brings into our life because he wants us to be holy even as he is holy. That's not, he just wants us holy for heaven. He wants us holy here. If we allow God to focus our perspective, we will see that holiness, as God intends it, is beautiful and is praiseworthy, and it's actually unholiness that is ugly and is to be shunned. So there are people who embrace a lot of things in our 2025 era that don't align well with holiness. I'm not saying that people who, have some of those things, there are some people who embrace things, who live a life thinking that they are holy unto God, but that holiness does not align with the Word of God. I find that to be very dangerous. There are other people who embrace things that I'm not going to embrace. I'm not going to condemn them. But I don't see the beauty in that. I see it as several of those things as being life controlling instead of God glorifying. So, again, I'm not in the condemnation business. I'm in the Jesus business. I want people to see Jesus high and lifted up and rightfully adored. But I want people to see Jesus. He is the beauty of holiness. And so we sing praise unto God because of the beauty of holiness. And remember, he says, be holy even as I am holy. He's the one, he's the only one who can make holiness a reality in a person's life. And so if you've got someone who has some areas in their life that are not holy unto the Lord, what I would recommend doing is don't assume the mantle of the Holy Spirit, but instead assume the position of intercessor before the throne of grace and ask the Holy Spirit to bring transformation into people's lives. He does it. He's done it for thousands of years, and he still does it today. And so the choir, I'm not even going to say the army, they begin to go out before the army, and this was the series of words that came out of their mouth. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And so, I think it's important not just to hear the words, but to remember the context. As they're going out with a song, they're going out with a command, They're going out with direction and appointment, and they're facing armies with swords and spears. When the message of their repetitious song comes, for his mercy endures forever, we need to remember that God's mercy is us not receiving what we do deserve. Grace is God pouring out his favor that we do not deserve. And so as they're singing their song, they realize that the only way that they are going to experience victory is if God gives them mercy. We don't just need mercy when we begin our walk with God. We need mercy that sustains us during our walk with God. His mercy sustains us during good times and bad times. Don't overlook mercy. Don't be just a recipient of mercy without being a distributor of mercy. Mercy is supposed to be our lifestyle. Mercy, when I first came to Merit Assembly of God, it was my primary gifting. I have had tremendous amounts of patience and given mercy over and over and over again. And I had a person, he was teaching our Sunday school class one time, and I'll never forget what he shared at that moment. He said, sometimes the most merciful thing that you can do is move mercy out of the way so that exhortation can step up and teach them how to change. And it's like, that's a really good word. And so I'm still merciful, but mercy doesn't always look to other people the way that, you know, they might think that it looks. And so there was a time when someone had done something to my wife. You do something to me, and it's going to be okay. You mess with my wife, you're going to see a different personality. You won't like it. She appreciates it. when my kids were young, if you messed with my kids, you're going to see a different side of my personality. You won't like it. They appreciated it. And now, I mean, you mess with the church, you'll see my personality change. You won't like it. because I'm given the responsibility by God to be a covering for all of those individuals. And I take my God-given responsibility very seriously. And so I'm not a taskmaster. I'm not anything like that. But I do want to show mercy, because God is merciful, and I want him to use a great big measuring cup of mercy when it comes to dealing with me, because whatever measure you use will be the measure that God uses on your behalf, only it'll be good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you don't practice mercy, you won't experience mercy. And so the song that they sang, "Praise the Lord for His Mercy Endures Forever," was something they needed at that moment, and it's what they got in that moment. Verse number 22 says, "Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated." I want you to see that it's not when they intended to sing, not when they considered singing, not when they were debating whether they were going to sing praise to the Lord, but it's when they actually began. That's when the ambush came against the adversary. That's when heaven responded. Again, there's this obedience aspect, because that's what they were commanded and assigned and appointed to do. But there's also the aspect that when God's people praise his name, he's going to establish his throne room there. And so when they started singing unto the Lord, I mean, they were actually in process of praising. And as soon as they began, the battle began. Only it was heaven engaging the enemy, not the armies of Judah. What if I told you that the enemy's strategy to keep you from praising and worshiping the Lord was designed to be a spiritual ambush against you? Because what we see in this place and in Scripture is that when they began to praise the Lord, God began to move on their behalf. The enemy was ambushed instead. So a word of practical instruction is this. It doesn't matter if you know the words. You can still praise the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I've been in conferences and they started singing a song that I didn't know, but it didn't stop me from singing to the Lord. It didn't stop me from praising. In fact, a lot of times I've been in those situations and came away saying, you know, I had never heard that song before, but that's a really great song to praise God to. And so I think maybe on yesterday's program, I talked about a song. Hey, it's got a great beat and you can tap to it. Well, back in the days, they used to have these song evaluations, and whenever dancing was on television, whether it was American Bandstand or Soul Train, and I think it was American Bandstand, the thing that they kept saying, it's got a great beat, you can dance to it. Well, I'm concerned about the lyrics. There are some songs that are very popular that I don't find the lyrics to be scriptural, and so I don't sing them. I'm not trying to tell anybody else not to sing them, but I'm not going to. I'm going to praise the Lord, and it doesn't matter if it's one of my favorite songs or least favorite songs. Here's the thing. Praise and worship isn't about the enemy. Praise and worship isn't about me. It's not about you. It's all about God. And so when you see what they were assigned to sing, they were to sing, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. They were supposed to sing to the Lord. They were supposed to sing and praise the beauty of holiness. Nowhere in there does it say that it was supposed to be a song just about, or it was not a song that was going to bring them the result that they're looking. They just began to find themselves praising the one who is worthy of praise. And God said, man, I'm going to go down and I'm going to take care of this. When you're walking in covenant with God, the attacks you face are attacks that he will face with you. And as soon as they started, the ambush from heaven overwhelmed the enemy. I can tell you, praising the Lord is never a waste of time. Studying the Word of God is never a waste of time. Going to church is not a waste of time. It's not just the way that you spend your time. All of those are spiritual investments that you make. It shows what you are pursuing. It shows who you are pursuing. And so whenever we praise God, I was at a Promise Keepers pastor's conference. I remember this pastor, he was from Pittsburgh. I don't remember his name, but he said this. Whenever two or he said, my take on this verse is that when it says, when two or three are gathered in my name, the scripture says, I will be there in the midst. And he said, my take on that is wherever you can get two or three believers to agree on anything, God said, I'm going to come and see it for myself. A lot of times it's hard to get people to agree on any single thing. But when we should all be able to agree that God is worthy to be praised. And so God shows up at the battle site and he said, I got weapons that y'all don't know anything about. And he's the one who ambushed the enemy. But it didn't start. Heaven didn't move until the praise started from the choir at the head of the army. Don't stop. Praise the Lord. The ambush, your victory, could be just minutes away. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.